Everyone, this is Lessons in Leadership. Steve Adubato with my colleague, Mary Gammon. Mary, are we approaching our 250th episode of Lessons in Leadership?
We are. It is officially happening today. As many of our regular watchers know, we tape several 7 to 8 full half-hour shows in a day. And sometime today, we are going to be taping the 250th episode of Lessons in Leadership.
That's exciting. We started in March 2020 at a critically important time for the world when COVID became real. Hey, Mark Sparta, our good friend, President, Chief Operating Officer, Hackensack Meridian Health, part of our Leaders in Healthcare series. Mark, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, Steve.
Yeah, real quick, COVID had any impact in your world?
Just a little.
By the way, Not laugh about it. Do you look at it differently as we're in the spring of 2026? Do you look at it differently when you look back 6+ years?
Absolutely. Lots of lessons learned, things that we carry over to today, and how we operate organizations and how we lead the almost 40,000 team members here at Hackensack Meridian Health.
Yeah, by the way, check out the HMH website. It'll be up to find out more. Or do this, because we're having your colleague, Jose Lozano, join us along with Chris Calori, who's the head of New Jersey Transit, to talk about the fact that over in Metro Park, there's a pretty big mass transit operation there. Hackensack Meridian Health is in there. Your corporate offices are in that complex. Why? What's going on there and why is it so important?
So to actually be at a transit hub and have a healthcare organization have its not only its headquarters, but also a large ambulatory health and wellness center at that transit hub, probably one of the first in the nations to be able to do that. Critical because access to healthcare is really, really important. And what better place to provide terrific access to high quality care than a transit hub at Metro Park?
Absolutely. Yeah, sorry about that. Jump in there, Mary.
Mark, I would love to hear about your leadership journey through healthcare. You were a physical therapist. I know we've talked about that a little bit offline. And I just wanted to hear, how did that happen, your transition from physical therapy? Well, first and foremost, where did your interest in the healthcare field and into physical therapy? But now being in the C-suite, how did that transition happen in your leadership journey? Talk a little bit about that.
Sure, Mary. So yes, I am a physical therapist. I actually started my career many decades ago at Hackensack Meridian as a physical therapist. I think like most clinicians, I got into healthcare because I wanted to help people. And, you know, through my journey, my career journey, I found that, you know, having that sacred privilege of being able to lay hands on someone and make a difference in their lives and hopefully provide them with a path towards healing and recovery, there's nothing more gratifying. And it helps me in every day of my leadership because I understand some of the challenges that our clinicians are going through. I speak their language, and I have had that opportunity to walk in their shoes. So I think it makes me a better leader.
You know, Mark, you and I have had a lot of offline conversations. I do significant amount of leadership and communication coaching at HMH. Mark is well aware that we have been almost a decade now, Mary, working with the HMH Hackensack Meridian Health Physician Leadership Academy, helping physicians become more effective leaders. Quick question, Mark. Clinical leadership or leadership in a clinical role versus or compared to executive leadership, any difference? And if so, what?
I think there's differences in terms of where your focus is, but I think that the fundamental underpinnings of being a leader are similar. It's about modeling behavior. It's about setting a vision, setting a direction, and frankly, removing barriers from the people around you that prevent them from being able to do the great work that they do. You know, as a leader, I see myself more as a facilitator. Surround myself with a lot of terrific people that are very talented and a great team, and really help them execute on all the fantastic things that that they determine the population needs.
Yeah, you know what's so interesting? Mark describes leadership or being a leader as a facilitator. I love when people tell me, that's a leader. That's when you tell people what to do.
Not so much.
That's a dictator. That's not a leader. Mary, jump back in.
Mark, you were just talking about the human component, of course, of medicine, of leadership. I'm going to throw a curveball, especially because we were just getting started and the Yankees are looking great. We are taping this right now on April 7th.
Certainly, Mary, this is showing later. Stop. Don't.
I know. I don't want to jinx it. They always start strong and then we know what happens. But anyway, Mark, question for you. Artificial intelligence, technology, how is it impacting that human component of medicine, or is it being used to really assist us as humans? I would love to hear your perspective on that.
Let me first say the pitching. We have the pitching this year. We didn't have it last year.
And by the way, Mark's old school like me. When we say we act like we're on the Yankees.
I know, me too.
Go ahead, Mark, pick it up.
So back to your question, Mary. You know, I look at artificial intelligence as a tool. It's a terrific tool that I think that healthcare needs to embrace. When you look across all industries in America, there's a lot of anxiety about AI, that it's going to take jobs, it's going to drive up unemployment. I don't see that happening in healthcare. I actually see AI as being a terrific tool that we can use and allow our clinicians to spend more time with their patients. To spend less time around the administrative burdens that they have to complete each and every day. And I actually see it as a way for us to be able to make care safer and more effective.
Mark, I'm curious about this. It's one thing to talk about AI, but in our leadership coaching, we also, it's interesting, as we evolve with our curriculum and our leadership seminars, we didn't, 5 years ago, there was no AI in leadership. And Mary, you and I have gotten more into EQ, meaning emotional intelligence and leadership. Mark, I say, let's play word association. I say emotional intelligence and leadership. You say what?
Humanity.
Talk about that.
You know, we deal with humans each and every day, whether they're patients, whether they're families, or whether they're clinicians. Often in healthcare, we're dealing with folks that are experiencing some of the darkest days of their lives. Folks don't come to healthcare because they want to; they come because they have to. And I think it's really important in healthcare that we never lose that human aspect of care, the compassionate nature that drives us all to healthcare. You can read imaging scans, you can look at lab tests, and you can cognitively come up with what a diagnosis is. But it's how you manage the patient's anxiety and the patient's expectations around that diagnosis is what makes the difference. And I think that's what makes us different at Hackensack Meridian.
Mary, that's one of the best descriptions of emotional intelligence. People think it's some sort of ethereal, abstract concept. But in reality, a lot of it is about humanity, as Mark Sparta, the president, chief operating officer, Hackensack Meridian Health, shared with us, part of our Leaders in Healthcare series. Mark, my good friend, let's hope for the best for our team, the New York Yankees. And by the way, real quick, 20 seconds, the HMH connection to the Giants football team. Real quick, go.
HMH is the hometown hospital of the New York Giants. And, you know, we're all lifelong Giants fans here. So looking forward to a great season with Coach Harbaugh and all the new recruits coming in.
It's going to be a good season. Thank you, Mark. This is Lessons in Leadership. Steve Adubato, Mary Gamba, Mark Sparta. We'll be right back. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, NJ Transit, the Northport Center, O'Toole Scrivo, Gingoli Construction, New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA, and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ, and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Visitors traveling to New Jersey for the FIFA World Cup can use New Jersey Transit services statewide. Train, bus, light rail, and paratransit services connect riders to Newark Liberty International Airport, MetLife Stadium, New York City, and communities throughout New Jersey. New Jersey Transit Safe Passage Initiative raises awareness about the signs of human trafficking and encourages reporting suspicious activity. Travel information, schedules, and safe passage resources are available at njtransit.com.
Lessons in Leadership is back with two terrific leaders who have a partnership and collaboration making a difference. We have Scott M. Shaw, President and CEO, Lincoln Technical Institute, and Althea D. Ford, Vice President, Government Affairs at our good friends, our partners over at the New Jersey Business and Industry Association. Scott and Althea, great to see you.
Great to be here, Steve. Thanks.
Hey, thank you.
We'll put up your respective websites so people can find out more. Scott, describe Lincoln Tech and why it's so important to have a partnership with BIA and organizations like us.
Well, Lincoln Tech is actually one of the oldest trade schools in the United States. This year, we're celebrating our 80th anniversary. And of all things, we're based here in New Jersey. We were founded in Newark, New Jersey. We have six campuses in New Jersey. We have another 16 outside the state of New Jersey, but our largest group of schools and population is in New Jersey. And we're a very large provider of skilled trades people in the state. In fact, we're the largest provider of those going to a secondary school for automotive, diesel, electrical, HVAC, and licensed practical nursing. So everything we do is connected with industry and business. We're looking to solve their problems, see where the need is for new career technical training needs out there in the workforce. And so by working with organizations that within the state, people like yourselves, getting the word out there that we are here, we are a leader, and we want to work with industry to help solve their workforce needs, which we hear so often from the employers that they just cannot find enough good talent.
Althea, the Business and Industry Association, the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, NJBIA, your website will be up right now. You represent thousands of organizations, thousands of businesses, right? We're a member as well. Why is it important to have a partnership with an institution celebrating a big anniversary like this at Lincoln Tech? Why is it that partnership important?
Ultimately, as representing the business industry here in New Jersey, it's important for us to amplify and elevate businesses that are truly answering the call and meeting the moment. And so organizations such as Lincoln Tech that, you know, again, to Scott's point, is, you know, serving the landscape. They are understanding the needs of the businesses, and they are meeting the moment by providing very relevant training and technical expertise to prepare those students for opportunities for employment, gainful employment. That's ultimately what we want as an association.
Real quick follow-up on this before Mary jumps in. Althea, your colleague, the CEO, the president and CEO, Michelle Sekirka, go on our website and see many interviews we've done with Michelle, and also in-person seminars Michelle and I have led at BIA, Business and Industry Association, around leadership. You head up government affairs. What the heck does government affairs and your work in government affairs have to do with the work of Lincoln Tech and the potential for legislation, policymaking that would impact their industry?
Sure. So ultimately, we need to ensure that state government and, you know, policymakers, decision makers are aware of the needs of all of its constituents, including the business community, and the value that we have and the value that we offer to the state. We know that when individuals are properly trained and educated and opportunity, they will contribute meaningfully to our state's economy. And so when we provide those meaningful avenues of access, it ensures that the state ultimately gets the funding and the finances that they need in order to operate.
Good. Final word on that, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, we as all education institutions have three regulatory bodies that we report to. One is the Department of Education in the federal government, our accreditor, and then we have state representation. So we have to be compliant with things that the state wants. At the same time, we have to be paying attention to what the state is doing so that we can ensure that we're offering the best programs that we can for the citizens of New Jersey.
Mary, as you jump back in, I believe Scott is joining us. Are we having a panel discussion that involves Senator Joe Crian as well, talking about the role of the legislature, the role of government's interaction with technical schools, which it's funny, I'm not going to get into a whole branding issue, but Lincoln Tech is so much more than just calling it a technical school. Mary, jump back in.
That's a perfect segue, Steve. So, Scott, for all the parents watching out there, myself included, I have two sons. One graduated from Michigan State University. The other one will be graduating from NYU this May. But traditional four-year college universities aren't the only path. Can you talk to those parents out there whose young adults are interested in going into one of the trades and why it is so important to listen, to learn, and where can they go to get that information of, hey, you want to know what? This could be a really great avenue for my son or daughter to explore.
Well, naturally, I love the trades, but also I have four children as well, and they all didn't go into the trade. So we all have to make that decision. And what's exciting is that more people are looking to the trades as a very viable alternative, because it is a great career opportunity. The jobs are out there. We don't have enough people. And not everyone knows why they want to go to college. Everyone feels, you know, when I went to college, it's a given. You just have to go. But why? To study what? I mean, I'm actually not doing what I studied when I was in college, but it did benefit.
I don't think any of us are, Scott, but that's besides the point.
I know, but it costs a lot of money. And so what's happened is so many people have seen the fact that there are a lot of people that come out really not having a skill in all this debt. What the trades do is it's a skill that you have for life. And it's a skill you can continue to build on. And as I sit here today, there's nothing that AI is going to take away that's going to take these jobs away for what we're offering. You're going to need someone to repair your air conditioning system in your hospital or in your school or in your home. You're going to need someone to fix electrical systems. Everything's becoming electronic. So electricians are important. We need people to deliver our supplies with our trucks. We need our cars to get around. We need our nurses in our hospitals. These are all necessities. This is all essential. And what's exciting for me is that people are waking up to the fact that there are faster, cheaper ways to get a skill. And going to a career technical school like Lincoln Tech or any other technical school out there is the way to do that. You incur less debt, you get into the workforce faster, and depending on where you go, you can really be assured of having a skill that the workforce wants.
Well said. Althea, could you jump on the point that Scott just made about AI? What is, I'm not going to say the position because it's not a policy. Well, I'm going to put it this way. Add on to what Scott just said about AI and the need for us to not simply, oh my God, AI is coming, as opposed to embracing it and making it work with and for us, particularly as it relates to employers in the state,
sure,
including Lincoln Tech.
So I think one, if I may, just want to comment on Scott's previous comment around like college and career. And I think one of the things we need to really be mindful of is that words matter. And so the idea that there's a dichotomy between college and career is a misnomer, right? Career is the trajectory. And so we want to make sure that as individuals are pursuing their career, they are equipped with the credentials necessary to be proficient and to demonstrate that proficiency in whatever that career path is. And college is one avenue. Credentials are another avenue. And the methods and strategies for individuals to obtain those credentials are going to vary because people's, you know, their ability to be educated, their learning styles are going to be different. And so it's important for us to have a diversity of methods to train. But getting to your point on AI, I think it's really important for us to realize that AI is a technology, right? It's not, it's almost kind of presented as a boogeyman, but it's a technology that all of us in this new, you know, in our 21st century, we need to understand and appreciate, and we need to learn it, because if we don't, there are much more detrimental effects if we are unfamiliar with this technology. We have to ensure that we are teaching our young people, and as we're reskilling and upskilling, teaching an older adult as well, how to interface with this technology in a way that allows them to operate more efficiently, more effectively, because the world is going to move forward. This technology is here. So we can't just kind of put our heads in the sand, but we need to take ownership of it, put guardrails around it, of course, but ensure that everyone ultimately can have a level of comfort and familiarity with it, because it's here to stay.
By the way, to Althea's point, go on our website right now. We have a mini lessons and leadership seminar on AI and leadership. Check it out. We're also doing an in-depth follow-up AI and Leadership 2.0 with our good friend Greg Lalavie over at the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825. Scott, final word here. Goals for Lincoln Tech in this very important, what anniversary is it again?
The 80th anniversary.
80th anniversary. Yeah. Most significant goals for Lincoln Tech in this anniversary year include?
Sure. Our biggest is just getting the word out about the trades. There is a lot of news and lots of publicity about it, but it's amazing still how many people don't really understand what the trades are and how they can get into it. So for me, you know, I want Lincoln Tech to be around for another 80 years. So it's just constantly building our brand, making our product better, making sure that our students are getting the skills that the employers want so they can be successful, as their success leads to our success. So it's really, Steve, doing the same thing we've been doing for 80 years, just doing more of it.
Absolutely. To Lincoln Tech, congratulations on 80 years. There are longtime underwriters and partners at the Caucus Educational Corporation for a whole range of programming we do there. Check out our website for previous programming we've done around technical education. And to our partners at the Business and Industry Association, BIA, Althea, we thank you. We thank Scott. This is Lessons in Leadership. Steve Adubato, Mary Gamba. Final words. We'll be right back.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA, and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ, and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media. All right, folks, for those of you watching Lessons in Leadership who look forward to Mary and Steve's mini video seminars, Lessons in Leadership seminars, here it is. By the way, Mary, I have a folder that's called Lessons in Leadership Mini Seminars.
That is very on the nose. I'm telling you, Your creativity knows no bounds.
Yeah, and I use Brother Pete touched it. Never mind. So here we go. This is the title of this one. How about Impact Overactivity, right, Mary?
That sounds perfect to me. Do you want to explain what that means?
Yeah. Hey, why do we do what we do? We're busy. You ever see someone like, we do a lot of coaching, one-on-one coaching, seminar coaching of people in leadership positions. Oh, Steve, you have no idea. And one of our colleagues on our team said, you have no idea how many things I'm doing today. What? You should see my to-do list. I'm overwhelmed. And I look at the list and I go, how many of those things do you really need to do today because they have great impact versus it's just an activity? So Mary and I developed this. Mary came up with an impact over activity theme. So Mary, four bullet points. Mm-hmm. Let's be impactful. First bullet point. Busy doesn't mean productive. It's up. Explain it.
Busy doesn't mean productive. If we're spinning a bunch of plates, we're running around, we appear to be very busy, it doesn't mean that you're producing anything of value. So sometimes we feel as if, look at me, I've got so much going on, and don't you know how busy I am? If you don't have a specific, tangible outcome to your business, to your productivity, then all of that busyness doesn't really mean anything at all.
Yeah, we're not impressed by busy, we're impressed by impact.
Exactly.
Bullet point number two, tie every activity to a purpose. What about if it's just an activity with no purpose? What's the problem with that?
So many times I'll have a list of to-do items, and hopefully all of you out there watching have a to-do item, whether it's to do around the house, a honey-do list for your spouse, or at work you have your to-do list. If you don't have a purpose for whatever that to-do item is, and you really need to sometimes look, because a lot of times we hear it, Steve, we've always done it that way. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to bang my head against a wall. Just because we've always done something a certain way, that is not a purpose. If what you're doing is not purposeful, if it doesn't have meaning, if it doesn't help in some way, you shouldn't be doing it just because you've always done it that way.
And to Mary's point, in order to actually do this impact over activity thing, and P.S., I'm going to be clear, Mary has called time out, pushed back, and I don't want to give away our fourth bullet point, which is your favorite quote. You want to do this one?
Yeah, we could go out of order.
Okay. Number three. This is Mary. Hey, this is me. Mary, I have no idea. Why don't we have a new podcast? This is years ago. I said, let's have a sports podcast. I want to do a sports podcast. I love sports. I'm going to do it with my son, Nick. We're going to create a podcast. My Nick and I will do it. It'll be family. It'll be fun. And there's a lot of work involved. Money, right? And you said, what is the what worth the what?
Is the juice worth the squeeze? And I need to shout out to my brother-in-law, Craig. He's the one that said that to me years ago. And I said, Craig, I am going to take that. And he didn't invent it, obviously. And literally is, if you're squeezing that orange, we all know if we've tried to squeeze our own juice, unless you have one of those expensive machines, you don't get a lot of juice out of that orange. So if that orange isn't perfectly ripe, if that project isn't perfectly, not perfectly, I won't use that word.
No, no, don't say that.
Not
Mary,
perfect. I don't want to use the word perfect. But if you don't have a good enough reason, if that juice is not worth that squeeze, if that podcast, if you will, and sure, we tried it, but then we also were emotionally intelligent enough and self-aware enough to take a step back and say, okay, is this juice worth the squeeze?
But also, didn't you come up with an idea a few months back? You said, what about if we take our video seminar? You
I thought it was such a good idea, okay, and then it didn't work.
30 seconds. What did you recommend? What did we try, and why didn't the squeeze?
Yeah, I wanted to do, and I even forget what I called it, but it was Monday whatever. And it was every Monday we were going to put out a new, you know, lessons in leadership mini seminar. And I thought it would have really, I was like, this is going to go viral. People are going to click on it. We're going to get tons of reactions. And once again, the market is just over. It's just so saturated with new podcasts, new content. So I said to Steve, that juice was not worth the squeeze.
But sometimes you don't know whether the juice is worth the squeeze until you try it. The problem I have is when people try things and they try things and I have grit. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
There's a fine line between grit and tenacity and just being stubborn and doing what you want to do when it's not strategic. Last bullet point, number four, ask the question, why? Why are you having the meeting? Why are you writing the email? Why are you doing the thing you're doing? I ask people, why do you have a meeting every morning, every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock? And the response is, well, we do that every week. I said, I know, but why do you have the meeting? Well, because it's Tuesday. No. Why do you? I know you.
Let me try it another way. Why?
Yeah. Why? I don't know. We never thought about that. No kidding. I can tell. I've been in the meetings. Don't have a meeting unless you answer the question, why are we having a meeting? What's the purpose of the meeting? So a lot of these four bullet points, clearly they overlap. It sounds like we're talking about the same thing.
Mm-mm.
But that, and by the way, lessons in leadership, impact over activity. It's built relationships for us. We've expanded our leadership knowledge. We're better as coaches in leadership and communication because of it. And frankly, we get to learn from our friends who come on the program and have different perspectives on leadership. Mary, impact over activity. Elvin Badger, our great director, Big on Impact, says, you have 10 seconds left to have impact, Steve. Goodbye. Oh, we said goodbye. For Mary, for Steve, impact over activity. See you next time. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, PragerMedis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, NJ Transit, the North Ward Center, O'Toole Scrivo, Gingoli Construction, New Jersey Sharing Network, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
Visitors traveling to New Jersey for the FIFA World Cup can use New Jersey Transit services statewide. Train, bus, light rail, and paratransit services connect riders to Newark Liberty International Airport, MetLife Stadium, New York City, and communities throughout New Jersey. New Jersey Transit Safe Passage Initiative raises awareness about the signs of human trafficking and encourages reporting suspicious activity. Travel information, schedules, and safe passage resources are available at njtransit.com.